This is a special episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast, episode number 12.
It's time for Road Trekking the Podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendlin and his network of road trekking reporters.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our third in a row podcast coming to you directly from the RVIA National RV Trade Show in Louisville, Kentucky. I am Mike Wendlin, and we have been here for 3 days. This is episode number 12. We've got a lot of ground to cover. Then we'll get back to our regular Wednesday every week schedule for the podcast. Many things coming. Thank you for all the great emails and the support. This is a RV podcast. That means it's about getting out there, enjoying God's country, having a great time in the great outdoors in an RV. And we hope that you'll enjoy all that we've got coming for you. We've got a lot coming. But first of all, please welcome my lifelong traveling companion and my wife, Jennifer. Hello, dear.
Hello. It's nice to be here.
Yep. Well, we're winding down. We're going to, as soon as we finish this podcast, we're hitting the road in our RV and making our way back to our Michigan Sticks and Bricks home.
Why do I have a feeling that I'm going to be asked to do a considerable amount of driving?
Because not only are we going to record this, but as soon as we've got it recorded, we're going to hit the road, and I'm going to stay in the back of this thing with an edit video and photographs and get this podcast all edited, because we have to get this up on online and people are waiting to hear from it. So guess what? You get to drive in the ice storm that they say is approaching.
Oh, good Michigan experience. I'll be ready for Michigan.
This has been an interesting show. If this is the first one that you have caught, first of our podcast, please go back and listen to previous episodes. This is episode number 12, roadtrekking.com/12. If you listen to 11 and 10, you'll hear the rest of the information we picked up here at the National RV Trade Show. This is a big event. More than 8,000 RV industry executives attended here, including dealers, warehouse distributors, accessory store owners, campground operators, exhibitor personnel from manufacturers and supplier companies. 57 different manufacturers were here, Jennifer. I don't think there was one RV, whether it's a towable or a motorhome, that is not on display at this event in Louisville.
There was a feast for the eyes.
I ran our, my little iPhone has a steps counter. Guess how many miles we walked yesterday?
I don't know.
Guess.
Five.
That's pretty good. 5.2.
Aha. And then I went home and walked on the treadmill.
You did.
Yeah, well, I did at the hotel.
Yeah. Just walking around the Kentucky Expo Center, just going back and forth and meeting people and doing interviews. Yesterday, we did over 5 miles. And then you did. You went back an extra mile.
I did the elliptical and rode the bike.
Well, we got a lot to cover tonight. Let's first of all talk about this. This episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes, and the Good Sam Club. Good friends, good fun, great savings. Join today. So what was your favorite thing, Jennifer? What did you enjoy the most in their 3 days of RVing here?
I really liked the Zion, Road Trek's new motorhome. I like that.
The new little motorhome that's on the Dodge ProMaster chassis. And I guess they're doing the official rollout at the factory in a few days. We'll have to be up there in Kitchener, Ontario, and see if we can cover that as Chrysler starts to pay attention to this.
Well, what caught my eye, I like the white interior and the shades of gray and the black. I just like the style of it. And the 5 cubic foot refrigerator, a little bit larger than what we have, and I enjoyed that. And it just caught my eye. I like white. In fact, I think the next place we live, I'd like a white kitchen.
Well, it was. It's a very neat little unit. I think if you haven't seen that yet, go back to roadtrekking.com/10. Road Trekking, just the number 10, roadtrekking.com/10, and you'll be able to here are all the information. There's also a video of the Zion. So that was probably the big announcement for those of us who like small motorhomes.
And the storage in that unit.
Yeah, lots of storage. And then I think I particularly really got a kick out of looking at some of the exhibitors. And particularly, we saw some really neat storage options. And a little zip-on room that you can add to a Class B Sprinter-type motorhome.
And I want to look at that website and check out the screened-in room that she said was there. You could even take it away from your entrance to your road trek.
And we'll have that up in a future episode, but we did a lot of fun with the parts. Well, we've got some questions that came in, and let me tell everybody what's coming up a little bit later on in the program. We've got some really neat insight and sort of a combination of our news of the week and the destination of the week. We're going to meet a guy named Billy Cochran, who has some great off the main highway recommendations of places that you should see. And also, Billy speaks with a great deal of insight about the changing face of RVers. That's coming up. And then if you have ever wondered what all this stuff about Type B and a new type, relatively new type, that's called the B+. We're going to talk a lot about that. What is a Class B motorhome? We'll learn that as we meet Road Trek Joe, Joe Morales, who answers many of the questions for road trekking on our website. That's an airplane, by the way, that you hear in the background running overhead here in Louisville. We're right in the pathway of it, and that's an airplane. Can't stop that. So you meet Road Trek Joe. And then for those of you who are familiar with Dean Corrigal, I think you're going to really enjoy meeting Dean. Dean Corrigal is from Leisure Travel Vans. They are a Canadian manufacturer of Class B and B+ vans. They're based in Alberta, Canada. And Dean, you've probably, if you've watched any video on Class Bs, you've seen Dean give tours. He was telling us that 6 million people have watched his YouTube videos.
I've watched them. I've watched several of them.
He does. He tells us a little bit of his background. Dean is part of the sales team there at Leisure Travel Vans. And he started doing these videos just to show them off. And he's developed almost a cult-like following just for his enthusiasm.
Yeah, he goes to the mall. Everybody wants his autograph.
Yeah. Well, we had a great time. We met Dean actually here last year. And this time, we asked Dean if he'd help explain to our listeners and our viewers, we'll also have a video version of our conversation with Dean, about what a B+ motorhome is. So he tells and talks to us all about that and takes us on a tour with his typical energy, and you can listen to that, and also there'll be a video version you can see right here if you look at the show notes for episode number 12, and you'll find all of that. So lots of ground to cover, and I think this will be a lot of fun. So about right now, let's open the email box.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, Mike. How do we find out if there's any group going to Alaska next summer of 2015? This is Sherman Lands. I live in Connecticut. Thanks.
So to find out how to go to Alaska, we thought we'd go to probably the best source to find anything about travels. We're with the Family Motor Coach Association, and we've got Jerry Yates. He's the executive director. And Jerry, somebody wants to go to Alaska. What do we tell them? How do they find some of the people to go with?
So the best thing to do is to get on FMCA.com and go on to the Tour Connection, FMCA Tour Connection, where they have a whole listing of tours, including ones to Alaska.
I saw in the magazine a huge color spread of looked like moose and all that stuff, and it was advertising Alaska. So that's one trip. Any other suggestions how they can find people to go to Alaska with?
Oh, absolutely. They can get on any of our forums and ask about who's going to Alaska, where do you go on trips. Maybe chapters will have an interest in going to Alaska. So there are many opportunities. All they have to do is get on FMCA.com.
Seems like people are always going to Alaska. I mean, that's got to be on everybody's bucket list, so they should not have any trouble finding people to go with.
Oh, it's a great tour. It's a great location, and people love to travel, so just getting on FMCA.com, you can get all the information.
Well, that's Jerry Yates, the executive director of the Family Motor Coach Association, and FMCA.com. You can look under their tour information and find lots of them. There's also a lot of chapters that they have. Seems like everybody wants to go to Alaska.
I know. We've talked about it. One of these days, we will do it.
Yeah, even though I almost got scared away. Remember that time?
Ah, how could I forget that time? You share your adventure.
It was an FMCA rally, I think, in Indianapolis, the first year we started RVing, and we went there, and it was about how to go to Alaska. Well, I didn't stay there very long.
That's true. They started talking about all the possible things that could go wrong and how you had to protect your radiator and extra parts that you should take. I think we listened to about 15 minutes and we said, out of here.
I did. You never want to start a presentation by telling everybody that could go wrong. But obviously, a lot of RVers go to Alaska. And for our caller who was asking about it, one of the other places you could go is just to our Facebook group, the Road Trekking Facebook group. You can find a link in the show notes and also on the roadtrekking.com website. Just say, hey, I want to go to Alaska. Who's all going? I know I've heard of several people who are going, and they love to have people come along. So you won't have any trouble at all.
When you started talking about your Alaska adventure, I was thinking about the time you were taking the picture of a moose and a grizzly bear stuck his head up, and
you're only
a few feet away from it.
Yeah, we were up there. We saw this moose. You spotted the moose. And so we kind of ran across the tundra, set up the camera.
Not supposed to walk on the tundra.
Well, okay. We kind of floated across the tundra. And there was a little glacial stream, and there's this beautiful moose eating blueberries right on the other side. And so we're focused in on the moose. And right between the moose and us, just on the other side of the glacial stream, a grizzly stood up and started sniffing the air. He smelled us. I looked down at the glacial stream, the kind of the stream bed there, and I could see that the grizzly had walked across it several times. So we quickly left that that part of Alaska. Alaska's a great trip. I hope you enjoy it, and share with us, caller. I think it's Sherman is your name. Share with us where you go. We'd love to see some of your pictures. Sponsoring this part of the Road Trekking RV Podcast is Van City RV, serving RV shoppers from the center of the country in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City is one of America's top dealers, specializing only in Class B RVs. And you've got the three major small motorhome manufacturers being sold right there at Van City. You can see them all at once. They're in stock. They're on display. And Van City RV loves to deal. They only sell Class Bs. That's it. No others. The owner, Ray Dwyer, is considered to be the dean of Class B sales. Nobody knows small motorhomes better than Ray and his crew. They not only stock new models, they have a large inventory of used Class Bs as well, and they have a great fly and drive program. Shoppers from all over the country choose Van City RV. They fly into St. Louis, get picked up at the airport, taken to Van City, and then they take delivery of their brand new unit to drive home. Jennifer and I have been to Van City. We've met Ray and Danny and the crew, one of the top service centers in the country as well. They've worked on our RV, and we can personally say these are really some great guys. Here's Dan with this week's special of the week.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, I want to let everybody know that all our 2014 model year chassis motorhomes are going to be all discounted till the end of the year with a $3,000 additional discount. Right now, I've got three specials, though. We've got three road treks on the Mercedes chassis. We got the RS, we got the CS, and the Agile, all with $15,000 off of regular MSRP. Mention this ad and take an additional $1,000 off just for the holidays. Give us a call at 1-800-467-3905, or you can check them out at vancityrv.com.
So that's a big discount, 15 grand. And then if you say you heard this on the Road Trekking Podcast, an extra $1,000 off. 800-467-3905, vancityrv.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle. Here's the Road Trekking News of the Week.
Joining us right now to talk about the changing face of RV consumers, the people who are buying RVs and actually going out there, is Billy Cochran. He is a manager for Road Trek Motorhomes, and he travels all over the country, all over North America in one sense, finding and helping people as they make their decisions, helping dealers, visiting lots of different RV shows. And Billy probably has one of the best grasps of who today's RV buyer is and what they're looking for. And if you're one of those that are thinking about picking up an RV or maybe upgrading, I think you'll find this very interesting. Billy, welcome to the podcast.
It is a pleasure to be here, Mike, and I really do get to travel quite a bit. I've been from Syracuse, New York to Portland, Oregon, down to Tampa and Hershey and Pomona in California. And it is interesting as you travel around the country to see the vibrance of the current customer. They are younger and they are interested in doing more with their rig. They're not as much retirees who are wanting to park it and leave it all summer as they are 50-somethings who are wanting to be able to be spontaneous with their rigs. Now, the market exists, you know, it all across that spectrum. There are definitely retirees, but there are also people who have decided not to wait to retirement to be able to work on that bucket list. And that's who I'm meeting at shows. People with a level of energy that they want to put into their vacationing that the Class B really matches perfectly.
Now, what are people looking for in an RV today? And is that different than it was, you know, another generation ago or even 10 years ago?
Yeah, I can speak about that. My dad bought a Nimrod, which was a pop-up camper, in 1970 from a fella at work. I bet he didn't pay $350 for it. And for him, it was a project. My dad was a tool guy. He was a mechanic, and he wanted to be able to work on the thing. He would track down squeaks and leaks, and he put an awful lot of time into just fiddling with it. And when I talk to people today, they're not really as much looking for a do-it-yourself project. They're not looking to buy a unit that they then customize in their driveway. They want a unit that's ready to go out of the box, because their focus is not on the unit so much, but on their activities, the things that they want to accomplish.
What are they looking for? What are they actually looking for in an RV today?
Functionality.
What do you mean by functionality?
Well, I mean they want, for instance, to be able to take enough food to be able to be off the grid. They want to be able to have a power supply that enables them not to have to be tied to the nearest Shell station or a truck stop station. I think that people look for drivability, frugality, and security when they're on the road.
So that is obviously a good match for the small motorhome lifestyle that we're talking about, because these Class Bs can go literally anywhere. You indicate that they come with a bucket list.
Yeah, the customers have a bucket list, and there are some commonalities around the country. People are very interested in the national parks, the real national treasures that Teddy Roosevelt set up back in the 1900s. But then there are regional differences, too. There are regional specialties that people are interested in finding. You know, one of the things about traveling around the country is you'd think in this day and age that regional life, regional culture had sort of vanished under the homogenization of the McDonald's phenomena. But in fact, there really is a lot of regional life that's specific, and people are interested in ferreting it out. I hear a lot of people talk about back roads and about everything from diners to fishing holes to vistas that are not necessarily ones that are on the... You can't Google them. You have to get out there on the road and find them. And for instance, I live in Mississippi, and a lot of people come looking for Civil War flavor, the battlefields, and they'll go to the big major battlefields. But then every small town has its Civil War history, and you can pull into the local diner and talk to people whose great-grandparents lived it. And it really, that kind of phenomena, experiencing America, historic America on the street level, I think is one of the things that people look for.
And I would think that that is also what is driving the Class B market so much. Class B, B plus, but the smaller motorhomes that let you drive these small roads and pull literally into a diner and not need a super parking lot to make your 50-foot rig and your tow vehicle fit. You can go anywhere.
Yeah, and there's also a kind of an intimidation level that you drop below that threshold when you have a smaller unit. If you pull up at a rural bluegrass festival, if you go to Galax for the Fiddler's Convention in Virginia.
The Fiddler's Convention.
Oh, yeah.
That really sounds like it needs to be on my bucket list.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. Bristol, Tennessee, the place where Jimmy Rogers, the father of country music, got his start recording in his storefront. You just don't want to pull up in a 50-foot bus downtown that looks like 90 people are going to come out of it. You want to be able to just sort of blend in and listen to other people's conversations, meet locals, and it's a lot easier when you have a smaller rig.
You should give me a bucket list of some of these places to visit and sites to go. So I'm going to ask you to think off the top of your head. Give me three places that you mentioned. Bristol, Tennessee, the birthplace of country music. You mentioned the Fiddler's Convention.
In Galax, Virginia.
Galax, Virginia. Give me a couple more.
Well, I am an old social studies teacher, and I absolutely think that the Civil Rights Museum in Selma is the Voting Rights Museum in Selma is absolutely worth a visit. It's a very, very emotional place. It's a powerful place, especially as you listen to people, the docents there who are active during that time. An interesting part of Southern history and American history. I think that Sun Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, where Elvis and Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins got their start, is a terrific place to visit. I would say that there's a Mud Island, is a little island in the middle of the Mississippi River at Memphis, with a full-scale model of the Mississippi River from New Orleans all the way up to the source at Lake Itasca, Minnesota. And it's about 5 blocks long, and you can walk it, and it's actual terrain map in brass and concrete with water flowing through it. And it's like walking through mid-America. And if you're planning to take a trip along that route, a great place to start is in Memphis, where you can actually walk the route yourself.
This is all off of Billy Cochran's head. He had no idea he was going to ask that question. And you've just given all of our listeners some places to go and some reasons to get a Type B. Billy, I need to have you back on this podcast again.
Oh, I'd be happy to do it. Maybe we can do one live from a fiddle or bluegrass convention, which would be a lot of fun.
I am all geeked on that. And we'll try and put some links up to these festivals that Billy just gave us. It'll be on the show notes on this episode. And this is episode number 12. Of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. So if you're listening to us sometime in the future, this is recorded in December of 2014, look at roadtrekking.com/12 and you'll be able to get the links that Billy just mentioned. Billy, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I am, as I said, an old social studies teacher, and a lot of RVing is about history. It's really, I think, something that's on people's minds when they're traveling.
You know, before I let you go, it does occur to me I should ask you, I understand that you have a great affinity for potato soup in Syracuse.
Well, I will eat potato soup or dumplings or peanut soup. Those are three of my big ones, just about any time I can find them.
Tell me about the potato soup in Syracuse.
Well, it's delicious. You can get it with a great big slab of chunky chicken in it.
You were at a show, and apparently somebody brought you this.
And you know, that's one of the neat things about regional culture and about shows, is people will bring food to the shows. I've eaten all sorts of interesting things at shows, and I'm not talking about deep-fried Twinkies. I mean, you know, from crab cakes to microbrew beers. It's another wonderful thing. You could take one of these rigs and do a microbrew tour. That would be quite something.
No, you're giving me more list. All right, potato soup and deep-fried Twinkies. I think that sounds great. Billy Cochran, thanks for being our guest on this edition.
My pleasure, Mike.
We'll have to have Billy back again. The links to Billy's recommended visits off the main beaten highways of the interstate, those are really cool places that he suggested. I have put direct links in the Mississippi River Scale Model, National Voting Rights Museum, Bristol, Tennessee, the Galax Fiddlers Convention, and Sun Studios Memphis. All that will be linked, and you can find that under the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/12. Thanks to Billy Cochran, who travels around the country for Road Trek, helping with events and special rallies, that sort of stuff. Interesting perspective from a guy who loves to get off the beaten path. Thanks to Billy for that information. The Good Sam Club was created over 50 years ago to help folks like you get the most out of your travels. And today, with well over 1.5 million members, the club provides the resources you need and a friendly community to back you up, making the journey that much more fun and exciting. The Good Sam Club is well known for saving RVers money with member discounts on RV accessories, installations, campgrounds, even fuel. Good Sam helps keep more money in your pocket. They're there to help support you on the road as well, offering services like roadside assistance, warranties, insurance, and more, all designed by RVers like you. When you join the Good Sam Club, you gain access to free publications and expert technical advice, how-to videos, and a library of articles that make RVing easier. The Good Sam Club gives you the opportunity to learn more about RVing so that you can get the most out of your time on the road. With over 1.5 million Good Sam members, you can do more than just share the road. You become part of the largest RV community, where members connect to share information, offer advice, meet up for social events, and even volunteer together. The Good Sam Club. Good friends. Good fun. Great savings. Join today.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos, and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The small motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
You know him as Road Trek Joe on the RoadTrekking.com forum. His actual name is Joe Morales, and he works with Road Trek, and he's our guest in this part of Road Trekking, the podcast. So, Joe, tell me what you do at Road Trek first.
I'm titled the Director of Sales Administration and Events.
And events would be for, we're talking about the consumers, there would be what would come and see, like the one we're doing right now, the RVIA National Trade Show.
It would be, yeah. It would be the consumer shows as well as trade shows.
Okay. Tell me your background. How did you become Road Trek Joe? How did you end up at Road Trek? What did you do before? And a little bit about what you like about your job.
I was in law enforcement, and my career was ended early due to an accident. And actually, my wife, Tammy, has been in the RV industry for a long time. Our dad started years and years ago with Jeff Hannemeyer when he was the owner of Award. She was working with him at Golden Falcon, and then she came to work at Road Trek. And being retired, I was actually just sitting in the background helping her out here and there, and got a chance to meet Mr. Hamill, and next thing I know, I was on board.
And Joe is literally everywhere, from one end of the country. For those who were at the Road Trek Rally a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, in Branson, Missouri, yes. Joe organized all of that, which is, to this day, they're talking about one of the best gatherings of Class B owners around.
Thank you. It was fun. At times, it was a little stressful, but at the end, I think everybody had a good time, and that's what counts the most.
It was stressful for Joe, but not for everybody else that was there. It was just nothing but a great time. One of the things that you may know Joe from, besides Ask Road Trek and the RoadTrekking.com forum, is the photography, the excellent photography that we see of all these beautiful road treks around the country. So you're able to get those pictures because you are in those beautiful areas, but people want to know, in 10 words or less, what's the secret?
The right light, the right coach, and the right angle. That you put those together and you can make magic happen.
Laura Robinson, one of our writers at RoadTrekking.com, and I have been talking for a long time that we want to do an informal gathering about photography. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably use your photos as the standard that we all try and for. If you have not seen them, you can see most of Joe's pictures of each Road Trek model at RoadTrek.com. Now I want to put you on your Ask Road Trek Joe hat in the Road Trek forum. Yeah. You've been doing that for about a year, and I have felt really bad for you because the questions keep coming.
Yeah, it can range anything as simple as, you know, I need to find a dealer with a part or something like that, up to some folks who still own, you know, 25, 30 year old road treks, and they have questions as to how does this get done, how is this possible, so on and so forth. And with a little research and a little bit of time, I'm usually able to get them the answer that they need.
When we talk about road treks, we're talking about a Class B motorhome, and it occurs to me, because we're getting new readers and listeners to this podcast, I think there's only like 30,000 road treks on the road. We have 300,000 readers of the blog each week. Mm-hmm. About 200,000 people are downloading this podcast. So when we talk Class B, there's a lot of people out there who don't really understand what a Class B is, a Class A. We talk about the small motorhomes, mostly Class Bs, but describe, what is a Class B?
Class B is basically going to be just a straight van chassis. We make the modifications to the electrical systems, the plumbing systems, the cabinetry, and everything to fit within the chassis itself. Unlike a Class A or a Class C, where you'll take what's called usually a rail chassis, the manufacturer will take a box, bolt that to the frame, and that'll become the motorhome. We actually just take a straight van, do very little as far as the body is concerned, with the exception of our 210, and make everything fit within that van space.
Now, the 210 is built on the Chevy Express platform chassis.
Correct. It's the same platform as the 190 series. It's just 18 inches longer, which is where we do some of the work. And then, of course, we do the fiberglass body work as well.
It would be fair to describe a Class B as a camper van.
Correct.
Yeah, and people probably, it was first popularized probably by those old VW camper vans that we saw.
The Rialtas still have a cult following. I know of every year in Alabama, they have about 200 that gather around just on the west side of Alabama, just by Georgia. And people who have them, just like their road truck owners, absolutely love them.
Is there a life for a Class B motorhome? They seem to last forever.
Yeah, there is. It's one thing about the road truck motorhome and the road truck owner is they are very particular, and they take care of their vehicles just like they take care of themselves. And that's what adds to the life and the value of the vehicle over all the years.
And that's probably true of most of the Class Bs. I mean, most of these folks really do take care of them. What mileage do you see people getting in a Class B motorhome?
When we did one rally, we would always, you know, give a little prize or find out who has the most mileage. And right now, the most I've seen was 402,000.
402,000 miles.
Yes.
And that's probably one of the reasons it's so hard to find a used Class B.
It is. It's very hard to find. Dealers that I deal with all over the country, most of their sales force have a stack of names waiting for a used road truck to come in, and the price that they pay for them is going to be a premium.
We bought our first one. We're now going to be on our third road truck, but we bought our first one a couple of years ago, and it was used, and I'll never forget that. We said, well, put our name on the list if anything comes in. They called us up. And we went there, we looked at it, we said, oh, that's pretty nice, we're going to think about it. And said, well, you know, we have five other people who want to see it. And we're collecting deposits. Sight unseen, I had to give them a deposit to be on the list. And then we ended up buying them. But that was an awakening to us on the demand for a Class B.
Yeah, and we see it online with the Facebook group on roadtrekking.com. We see it all over the place, you know. Oh, I'm holding out for a slightly used 2010 or a 2005. And people have their mindsets, which is fantastic because they know what they want and they know what to expect from the product. And even if the unit is still 10 years old, they still expect the quality that they're going to get today.
But before we go, Road Trek Joe, where are you headed next? Give us an idea. We all know how we like to travel in 2015, but what's on your road trekking plate for the next year?
Next year, we'll start in Tampa for the Tampa Super Show, which is the first major show of 2014. Then I'll have training sessions in Toronto in California. And then we have a couple of surprises that should be coming out soon that will be taking me into the areas of California and Michigan, but also I will be traveling to Calgary in January as well to set up some other events.
I think I'm going to be with you on one of those surprises, and that will be the subject of another podcast coming up.
Absolutely. It should be quite interesting.
Well, you can actually see a picture of Road Trek Joe. He didn't like his picture taken, but he's a nice-looking guy. We got him sitting next to his wife, Tammy, so he couldn't get too angry at us. And you can read all of Joe's advice, and as well as contact him at roadtrekking.com, the forums under the Ask Road Trek section. And one thing, I'm going to say this for you, Joe, and you can just back me up. Remember that this is not Joe's day job, asking road truck questions. His day job travels all over the country, and he puts in many long hours, and he does this out of the goodness of his heart in his spare time.
Yeah, most of the time my answers will come at night. That's when I'm getting back to the hotel after whatever I've done during the day. So most of the time people will see that I'm answering at nighttime.
All right. Well, you can see Joe, and you can read his answers and ask him your own question, roadtrekking.com/forums. Joe, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the Send Voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Now, again, you can find a lot of our information on the show notes with this episode, episode 12, roadtrekking.com/12. We talked with Road Trekking Joe about the Class B motorhome, and we learned that it is a kind of a camper van, and it's a normal van that is then customized and given a brand new interior. There is another type of van out there. Did you know that there is a B plus? You know, there's the big Class A or the Type A motorhomes. There's a Type C, which is not quite as big. There's a Class B, Type B, but there's also a B plus. At the National RV Trade Show, we went over to the exhibit of Leisure Travel Vans, and that's a Canadian manufacturer. And the guy we met there is a guy who's developed almost a cult-like following of many people who are trying to find more information about vans and Type B and B-plus vans. Dean Corrigal is his name. He's done a ton of YouTube videos for Leisure Travel Van, a guy who is known for his boundless enthusiasm. We ask Dean to help us understand what a B-plus is and who the typical buyer is for that. And in the process of that, we also got a tour of some of the B pluses that Leisure Travel Van has, and we have a video accompanying this podcast on the show notes that you can see Dean demonstrating some of the things that you'll hear in this interview. So without any further ado, please welcome Dean Corrigal. Joining me now on the podcast is a man whose voice you will immediately recognize if you have been shopping for any kind of a Type B motor van. His name is Dean Corrigal. He is with Leisure Travel Vans, and I am envious to say that you have had how many viewers on your YouTube videos?
You know what? I think we counted it up the other day, and it was just over 6 million views, which is kind of crazy because those are 22 to 30 minutes long, which would be the same time as a half-hour sitcom.
You know, people who wonder about YouTube and social media and how the internet has changed everything. I mean, folks, 6 million views, and those are free to do.
Yeah, it's incredible. Social media has totally changed how people buy anything.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about. We're actually doing this podcast from the National RV Trade Show in Louisville, Kentucky, and all of your products are here at Leisure Travel Vans. You guys, I know one of our sponsors is Van City RV in St. Louis. They're there. We met the folks from Fretz RV out on the East Coast. They're part of your dealers. You have a nationwide network of dealers throughout North America.
We have about 12 dealers in Canada, you know, from east to west, and then we're around 18 dealers in the U.S. from east to west. So,
and you guys are based in Manitoba.
Yes, Winkler, Manitoba, a nice little Mennonite town just above North Dakota, so 10 minutes off the border.
You are on my bucket list. Jennifer and I want to visit there this year and get a tour of the factory.
Oh, absolutely. So, love to have you. So yes, we'll come by.
That's good. Well, let's talk about particularly a category that a lot of RV shoppers don't know about. They may have decided they want to go to a Type B van, but it's called the B+. What is a B+, and who is the target demographic for it?
You know what? That is a great question, because the B+ is a slang. We made it up in the industry. Technically, it's really considered a Class C, but we don't have the overhead sleeping area on it like a traditional Class C would have. So people were coming in looking for a van or something that didn't have a cab over sleep area, but people kept showing them Class C with a sleepover. They said, I don't want that. I want storage above there. I don't want the overhang. So then kind of in the industry, we came up with the B+, even though it is built on a cutaway chassis, so for insurance purposes, it gets registered as a Class C.
Now explain what a cutaway chassis is.
Yeah, great question. So the van, the Type B van, is an actual van body. So you would buy a GM or a Ford or a Mercedes, and you would build the RV motorhome inside the van. So it's an actual vehicle. A cutaway chassis is we buy just the cab area and the rail, the body, and then we put our own RV body, usually a fiberglass body, on top of the Class C chassis. So that's why we call them a B+.
Now, a B+ is actually a C. This gets confusing.
It does.
I mean, I'm a consumer. I know. You guys in the industry, I'll get it. But for consumers, though, the attractive part of this is that extra room that you have. How much extra is it?
Okay, so traditionally a Class B van, Road Trek or a Pleasure Way or a Leisure Travel Van, would it be basically 20 feet to 22 feet in length, up to 24 feet and about 6 feet wide. So on a cutaway chassis, it allows us to go 25 feet, 26 feet, 22 feet, and a little bit wider, so 7 feet 10 inches. So we are now wider and longer than a traditional Class B.
And you're using the same chassis. I mean, we're yep. now we're sitting in the Unity, I believe Correct. It is. And this yep. is, we'll also do a video. We'll have to put a video with all this because people need to see how amazing the room space is. But it feels considerably larger.
Yes, it's amazing, isn't it? Because a van is, what, basically about 6 feet interior, and we're 7 foot 10 inches exterior. So for that extra foot, it feels huge.
And you have slides?
We do two models with slide-outs, and we do two models without slide-outs.
Now, these run, this is on the Sprinter chassis?
Correct, Mercedes.
And mileage?
You know, the B pluses are probably, you know, 16 to 19 miles to the gallon, somewhere in there, with the V6 motor, whereas the van, the B Class B, and I think you have one, you're probably 20 to 24?
On a good day, I'm 22, yeah. but we have okay. a lot of batteries in ours,
sure.
and that adds some weight.
Yep.
So let's talk about what is in and what you can do with that extra feet. It's really like a foot or two longer and a foot or so wider.
Yeah.
But it feels like night and day.
Yeah.
So as we look at this, and we'll show a video on it, but we're talking about a fully dedicated bedroom. No,
Correct.
No power sofa here.
No power sofa, full real bedroom, real bathroom. So what happens is, you know, the interesting thing about Class B's, because people always ask me that, you know, why Class B versus a B plus, you know, the Class B is a fabulous unit because it's a little smaller, a little stealthier, a little lower profile, can go anywhere you want, but it doesn't have what the B plus has, which is storage and living space. That's probably the big difference.
So who is the typical person who would buy a B plus over a B, or I don't want to say under a C, but they,
right.
they don't want a big C, which are pretty large, they're
Correct.
Taller. Who's the typical buyer of these?
You know, there's probably two primary buyers. One is a buyer that had a Class A or a big Class C. They've been RVing a long time. They're downsizing, what we call downsizing. They've RVed all their lives. Yeah, the big Class A is too big. They want to do more touring than just sitting in the desert, you know, all winter long. So they are downsizing. So they've looked at a van, a Class B, and they go, you know, oh, it's just a little bit small for that first move down. So then they look at the B plus and they go, you know what, this has got the bathroom and the bed that I'm used to having in a big Class A, and it just feels a little more comfortable as they start downsizing. The other buyer is people that are just starting to retire now. They're a little greener than my mom and dad were. My mom and dad weren't green people, right? They didn't understand saving the environment. The generation that's retiring now is concerned about their footprint that they leave when they're RVing, and they want to have the least footprint that they could possibly have. So they want the, you know, the clean diesel running unit that you have. They want to be, you know, electric. They want to, you know, have units that don't affect the environment. So that's kind of the two primary buyers.
I would also suspect that there are people who want to take their grandkids along, or maybe young families.
With the B plus, or the, you know, yes, that is one big advantage that you have over the Class B, is that you have an extra living area and a place to sleep grandkids, or, you know, somebody else that you want to travel with. So it does give you that little advantage, and yet you're still under that 25 foot range.
The two categories, Dean, that you just outlined, the folks who are downsizing from a Type A, perhaps those who are going to spend more time in a B plus, so you need a little bit more room. Are these the areas that you think are leading to this amazing resurgence in Class B sales?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it has been crazy the last 3 and 4 years for, you know, all the guys that build the smaller units. Like, you're at the show here, you just see more and more small units at shows. It is the wave of the future, because I think people are just, they want to be smaller, they want to travel more, because what do they say, the new 55 is 30 or whatever they want to say, because, you know, my dad's generation, my parents' generation, they just wanted to go down in Arizona and stay there all winter and not move. But, you know, when I retire, I'm still going to go climb Mount Everest.
That's what we're doing. That's why we pick the small motorhome, because we want to do stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think we stay any more than 2 or 3 days at the most anywhere, because there's so much to see.
You know, you hit it right on the head right
there. Well, speaking of things to see, let's go take a look at some of the things that you have in, particularly your B pluses. I really, really am curious to look at and to see how you've maximized the space. We've seen Murphy beds, we've seen dedicated bathrooms, full stand-up showers, and amazing storage. So let's take a look at that, and I'm going to actually put the audio from the video that we're going to shoot. For those of you listening just to the podcast, make sure you go to the show notes for this. This will be episode number 12. If you go to roadtrekking.com/12, you can find this. And we're going to have Dean giving us one of his famous YouTube videos, only on roadtrekking.com, as we look at B pluses. Let's go look.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, we're walking into the 2015.5. This is our Unity twin bed model, and this is our B plus. So this is kind of a really cool unit. Opening skylight, of course, all of our beautiful wood. We do it in maple and cherry. We also have an anniversary color. We do it in curved. I love the Galliere reverse curved door. Lots of cool things. Stainless steel sink, which is very cool. Look at this pull-out TV. How sweet is that? Little pull-out pantry. And of course, this is our twin bed model, so we've got a beautiful private bathroom on this side, and of course, the two twin beds.
This is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Where Dean goes in the bathroom.
And I like this little curved door. And then on the other side, we've got, of course, the big stand-up shower, which is kind of a nice little feature to have with a little...
Now, how tall are you, Dean?
I'm 6'1", probably 6'2", with the old shoes on, so...
And look at that. You still got a little bit of room.
The skylight. Got a little door here for the shower. And we were talking about the twin beds earlier. Yeah, this is really cool. So you've got two individual twins, and they also make into one big king bed. So
you just put something right in there.
Yeah, I'll show you that right now, actually, if you want to have a quick look at it. It's very, very simple. So this just slides across, and these cushions just slide right in. So now I'm all bed. Now that's a big bed. Look at this. You can sleep this way. It's a full king bed.
Oh my gosh.
Is that not fun or what?
That is not. How big is the refrigerator?
6.8 cubic feet. Separate fridge, separate freezer. So, and it's a three-way fridge, so gas, electric, and propane.
And my wife's favorite part is right here, the screen door.
Yes, beautiful screen door. So we can separate that. And you've got a nice little screen door, so the bugs can't get you, but the fresh air can.
Hey, Jen. Jennifer, do you see the screen door?
I know. I see the screen door.
I see a screen door in it. Okay, this is the Unity.
And you said
this is a 2015 and a half?
Yep, brand new body design. We just brought it out. This is the first show we've ever shown it at.
And is this available for order?
Available for order. We're just going into production starting December 1st, which was yesterday, so we're in full production of the new body.
Let's go see what else you got.
Okay. Got another couple of nice little things. Obviously, LED lights in the awning and storage. That's the other thing about a B plus is lots of storage area. Look at this at the back here. Pass-through storage. How sweet is that?
Hey, look at this storage.
Yeah, this is great.
Okay, now we're in the Unity 2015.5 corner bed model. So this is a very cool little floor plan. It has a slide out, and you can see how much living space we have. So we have two models with slide outs and two non-slides, but this gives you lots of living space. Of course, the big two-door fridge, very similar. Convection microwave, good storage, pull-out pantry, nice big galley area. And of course, this is what we call our corner bed. So we're about 72 inches in length and about 55 inches wide. We've got a beautiful little TV here that turns and swivels front to back. You can also watch TV in bed. And of course, another nice little thing, the big private bathroom with the stand-up shower. So lots of room for showering, lots of room for the bathroom. You know, nice little curved sliding door. So a very cool little floor plan.
And this one is... The model?
This is the Unity corner bed. Yep, CB model we call it. This is another model. This is our Unity Murphy bed for 2015.5. Very cool. What we've done here is you can have it as a sofa, you can have it as theater seats. It then also makes into a booth area.
Through the magic of editing, here's the booth.
Now we're back into a booth area, so you can have dinner for four. So that's pretty cool. So we go from a sofa into a booth, and then plus I'm going to make it into one great big bed, the Murphy bed. Okay, so now we go from a dining room area, and boom, it's bedtime. Look at that. 68 inches wide. I mean, this is king size wide.
Wow.
74 inches long. So is that cool? You can leave all your bedding on here, and you can see how easy it is. It just flips back up.
And the target for this would be the downsizers.
Yes, many people that buy the Murphy bed downsizing out of a big Class A, because a big Class A has got, you know, obviously a lot of living area. They obviously have a lot of storage. They have a big bed, and they also have the big bathroom, which they're very accustomed to having.
Dean Corrigal, Leisure Travel Vans, thank you for showing us and educating us through the possibilities with the Type B motorhome.
Well, thank you very much.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Well, so ends another episode of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. Thank you so much for being part of it. It's been really fun doing three podcasts back-to-back from Louisville and the RV National Trade Show. Thanks to all the folks we talked about, especially Dean Corrigal, who you just heard in this last interview. You can see a video of Dean's tour of the Class B Plus motorhome with the show notes here for episode 12. RoadTrekking.com/12. This has been the Road Trekking RV Podcast. Please send us your comments and questions about what you heard today or on any RV topic. Just use the leave voicemail link on the right side of the screen at roadtrekking.com. And be sure and check out our archives. There's a category there at roadtrekking.com called podcasts. Click that and you can go back and listen to previous episodes. Lots of great information there. And would you do me a big favor? If you have not done so yet, please subscribe to the Road Trekking Podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, whatever program you use to listen to it. That way, every time there's a new episode, it will just appear automatically in your podcast file. Thank you again for listening. Please stay in touch with us at the roadtrekking.com blog or our Facebook page or group. We'll get back to our regular schedule of episodes being released every Wednesday morning after this special trip here in Louisville ends. Thanks to my wife Jennifer for all of her help on this project, the folks at Road Trek, the folks of the Family Motor Coach Association, but most of all, thanks to you, our listeners of Road Trekking, the RV Podcast. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendland, road trekking across North America. So long, everyone.